So I really had an interesting talk with the Lord earlier this week and all throughout the week, and especially as I was praying about the message, the sermon today. And during that time of seeking, I really tried to focus on hearing the Lord, that is, tuning in to Him, to be led, inspired, directed by Him. When I've sought the Lord this way, you know, I've learned to pay attention for a strong thought that I have that I sense is from Him. Do you know what I mean? A strong thought that I have as I really seek Him. You know, I really believe that as we, you know, seek the Lord, as we, oh God, just asked Him to direct us, lead us, guide us, that He wants to do that, especially when we really are willing and that we're willing to be obedient. And we know that God could do anything, absolutely anything, that if He desired to, He could appear in front of us and speak in a human voice that was audible to our human ears. But we know that God has chosen to speak to us in a different way. We know that God has chosen for good reason to lead, guide, inspire, direct us by His Spirit, and to do that often, you know, in our minds, in our thoughts. As I sought the Lord, the strong thought that I had, and I really just want to share this with you because it was so strong. It was one of those times when I absolutely, beyond question, knew it was from the Lord. The strong thought that I had was that while it is absolutely good to hear from the Lord, to receive, you know, that inspiration, that guidance, that leading, it is ultimately important to God, for me and for all of us, to have a heart that knows what He wants, that does what He wants instinctively, intuitively, inherently. And that thought really struck me because, you see, really, most of the time, I am simply focused on hearing from the Lord. And I viewed this word that came from God as kind of a challenge to me because I know how important it is to hear from God. And as I said, I don't ever want to stand up in front of you without having inspiration that I feel has come from Him. So my focus has been almost exclusively, right, on hearing from the Lord. And then these thoughts came this week, and it was like, you know, when Kim used to write her passion plays, and she used to tell me that the thought would come, and then as she would sit at the computer to develop that script for the passion play, it would just flow. You know what I mean? The thoughts would just keep coming. It would just flow. And she would keep on typing. I'd see her up there in the middle of the night, you know, just typing. And I understand that's what happens even when I'm working on a sermon. You know, the thoughts then flow. I usually look for that strong, clear thought that puts me on the right track, right? So this thought that while John, it is good, great, needed to hear from me. I want the hearing from me to penetrate your heart and change your heart in such a way that your heart becomes so much like mine that it wants intuitively to do what I want. Are you grabbing that? And I was just praying, okay, Lord, just help me to understand this more. And, you know, the thought that I had was about children. You know, I have a grandson, my latest. It'll be 1 year old at the 24th of this month. And we're looking forward to just being with him for his first birthday. And I was remembering, you know, just about when my kids were that young, which was a long time ago. But I did understand why the Lord was bringing me to the concept of children, because you see, while our children are very young, grandchildren too, for those of us that are old enough, you know, we lead them, we guide them, you know, we are the ones that are there, and they need that, you know, they need that constant leading, guidance, attention. But isn't it true that our desire for our children is for them to grow up in the ways of the Lord, grow up, right, in those teachings, in the truth, and come to a point where they do what is right without you having to tell them? And you see, that was really the illustration that helped me understand what the Lord was speaking to me about. That, yeah, John, I love it when you tune in to me. But you know what I love more? When you allow our exchanges to get into your heart and change and fashion your heart to be more like mine. And I thought, yeah, Lord, I'm getting it. And he reminded me that, you know, there'll be a day when we're in heaven, or even after that on the new earth that's created, when I will not need the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you the way you do, way he does now. I thought, I never thought of that before. Never thought of that before. What? Well, yeah. It's because you will be in such a state then that you're going to be my sons and daughters. You're going to be just people after my own heart. You're going to do what I would do. You following that? That's big time revelation for me. You know, it really spoke to me. And it just reminded me about the importance of us having God change our hearts. You know, the willingness to allow him in there to do a work in our hearts. So, you know, when the desires of our hearts become the same desires as the desires of God's heart, we are in a good place. And I really believe that that's what that scripture means, that when it says that the Lord will give you the desires of your heart, I really believe that he is speaking to us, saying that I will when your desires become mine. Amen? That's good stuff. You know, when your heart has changed and developed to be more and more like his, you know. And because, you see, we are led by our hearts, what, you know, the scriptures call the heart. You know what I mean when I'm talking about the heart, of course. As we've said many times, we're not talking about the thing that beats in your chest. We're talking about that inner self, that place in us that God created, that is the repository of our character. Amen? That's what the Bible calls your heart. And because we're led then by our heart, when our heart is more like the Lord, we want what he wants. We do what he would do. And the other thing, you know, how many times have we talked about how Jesus, right? You know, how he was just in perfect communion with the Father, right? You know, and I got to tell you that this revelation carried over into my understanding about the life of Christ, because, you know, I guess I often really wonder, but never really meditated deeply upon the fact that Jesus would say things like, I only do what I see the Father doing. But after this revelation, I understood that what he meant was not that literally it was one of these, okay, Father, what do I do next? And, oh, I see, and then take a step. Oh, I see, and then take another step. I don't believe that was the case at all. I believe that what Jesus meant by that is that his heart was so in tune with the Father's heart that his desires were the Father's desires. And as a result of it, what God willed, he did. Amen? That's the light bulb for me. I hope it is for you. I hope that helps to understand, you know, this word that I know that was not only for me. And believe me when I tell you, there's many, many times when the Lord gives me a word to preach that is first for me. I think sometimes that's when I preach the best, when I know that it's for me first. And that's how it's easier to communicate with you. But yeah, that was so good. And then, of course, here's where that led me to share with you today. You know, I know that very clearly the Scriptures teach us that there is a man in Scripture that God said was a man after his own heart. Who was it? David. David, you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, it's that time right around verse 8, it goes down to verse 14, 1 Samuel 13. As you recall the situation, Israel wanted a king. And honestly, as you probably know, they wanted a king because all the other nations around them had a king. Samuel was the prophet, right? And Samuel was, you know, very much in tune with the Lord. And, you know, he was called to be a prophet from a very early age when his mother, you know, took him to the priest's house. And you remember how he learned to hear the voice of the Lord? And he did. And his words never fell flat, you know, because he was in tune with the Lord. He spoke what the Lord told him. And he led Israel. Samuel was the prophet that was leading Israel at that time. So can you imagine when the people asked for a king, the first one that was upset was Samuel because he felt that the people were rejecting him as a leader. But I wanted to ask you this question. Can you imagine how God felt? Because, you see, God was the one that told Israel, I'll be your leader. You know, but they wanted that human. They wanted that king like all the other nations. And the interesting thing is, and this goes into that permissible will of God, you know, the interesting thing is even though God saw the whole thing happening ahead of time, but you understand that God flows in this world with human free will. Along with human free will. In other words, he allows human free will to go even when it's not, when people do what he doesn't want them to do. You know that. I mean, that's just common knowledge, common sense that we look around us and we see people all the time that are doing things that are against God's will. That's sin, right? But the interesting thing is that God told them at this time, do you remember? He told Samuel, go ahead and give him a king then. Go ahead and give him a king. Give him what they want. I found that it's not always a good thing when God gives you what you want. When it's not what's best, but what he's doing is teaching you a lesson. And so, you know about Saul, the one who was anointed to be king. And you probably know that Saul looked like a king. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. I mean, wealthy family, big guy, handsome, you know. The problem was here. Saul did not have a heart after God's own heart. But he was anointed, you know, and it was at this time, finally, when after disobeying God, Samuel spoke the words to Saul and told him, God has rejected you as king. And in this passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel 13, now in verse 14, he says, but now your kingdom will not endure. And here's the quote, right? The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. And that's, you know, Saul had been reminded twice and disobeyed the Lord. So listen to this phrase again. So grab onto it with me. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. Now, in the book of Acts, if you have your Bibles, turn there fast. In the book of Acts, it gives us a little bit more of an explanation of what God meant by that when he said the Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart. In Acts chapter 13 and down in verse 22, we read that God said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart. Look at it. Who will do all my will. Just grab those words. Who will do all my will. I found David, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Now, you know and I know that the Lord sees every one of our hearts. And what I mean by that, if the heart is the repository of really who you are, your character, right? So he sees, you know, where you are, how you are, right at the moment you are. I mean, even when it was David that finally was anointing his son Solomon to be king in his place, that David reminded Solomon, listen, the Lord searches every heart and knows the motives of and intentions behind every thought. Because that's it. The motives and intentions of your thought, they originate in your heart. And the words even that spoke out of your mouth, what does it say? Out of the wellsprings of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the Lord looks at the heart. And he told Samuel, the prophet, that, you know. He told Samuel, as Samuel was standing there, looking at all of Jesse's sons come before him. And there was one, Eliab, that came before him. And Eliab, again, looked like, this is the man. I mean, he was the man, you know. And he was the man of the household, you know what I mean. He was the one that, if by human standards someone would say, hey, you think one of Jesse's sons could ever be king? It said, maybe Eliab could. Boy, he looks like it. But what did the Lord say? Man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He said to Jesse, don't you have another son? Well, yeah, you know, I got little David, but he's out tending the sheep. I'm not going to sit down until he comes. And when they finally did go get David, brought him in, you know, the Lord said, rise and anoint him. There he is. The next king of Israel. Why? Because I found him to be a man after my heart who will do all my will. Now, I don't know, you know, all that happens to create our hearts the way that they are. But I do know this, that I do know that life circumstances, our upbringings, you know, the things that we've been programmed, put into our hearts, they certainly do affect our hearts. For example, I was talking to Kim this week, and I knew that God had put this word on my heart. And I said to Kim, you know, weren't you telling me the other day that you made a comment to one of your staff people who asked you, can I change? And you said to them what? And she reminded me what she said. She said, well, you know, I've been in ministry for a long time. I know the Lord can change the heart. And so I asked myself, and don't you do this sometimes even unknowingly, do I believe that? Do I really believe that people can change? Do you? I mean, can I ask you this without you answering verbally, but just answer in your own mind? Have you changed? Have you noticed change in your life? I mean, have you changed? And of course, when I'm asking that, I'm asking about hopefully the positive change, right? Have you noticed positive change in your life? And to be even more specific, when you have looked at the character of God, the character of Christ, have you found yourself, God working on your heart to make you more like Him? You know, I found that there's a lot of Spirit-filled people, many of whom can hear from the Lord, you know, can sense His leading, inspiration, the thoughts that come from Him. That's a very good thing. Romans 8 tells us that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, right? That's what Romans 8 tells us. But again, you see, being led by God is supposed to lead to something else. And that's the point of the message today. Being led by God is supposed to lead to something else, and that something else is heart change. Being led by God is supposed to lead to the deepening of your knowledge of Him. Being led by God is supposed to lead to the deepening of your love for Him. Being led by God is supposed to lead to Him doing the work in your heart that changes it in that positive way to make you more like Him. And I don't care how spiritual you say you are, if that work isn't taking place, then you are resisting what God desires for your life, what He wants for your life, what He knows is best, what He really wants. He wants us to mature. He wants us to get to the point where He doesn't have to lead us every single step of the way of what we do. But our hearts are made so much like Him that we're doing it. We're doing it. I mean, time and time again, I've been studying the Scriptures, you know, about like in the New Testament, you know. I mean, I'm talking about after Jesus and after the Holy Spirit now comes and dwells in people. And I'm finding that while, yes, God sometimes definitely says, go do this, other times, as He gives them that first word, go do this, like Philip, you know, when He told him to go on the Gaza Road. When you study that passage of Scripture, what you realize is that's pretty much all God had to tell him. And he knew God was putting him there for a reason. So when he found the guy in the chariot, he knew he was going to share Christ with him. God didn't have to say, here's what to say to him. Are you following me? He was given the word, that's good. And his heart was right with God. And he instinctively knew what to do. You know, there are people that are worshipers of God, but are not letting God change their hearts. Change our hearts to what? To be less and less selfish, less proud, less lust for power and control, less wanting your way, but more and more forgiving and giving and loving and merciful, unselfish, right? And you begin to be this when you allow your heart truly to be changed by the Lord. But as the scriptures say, you know this passage, right? Jeremiah 17:9. Been looking at Jeremiah more these days. When it says the heart is more deceitful than all else. Which is another way to say we can deceive ourselves. We can be blinded to our own heart condition. It's so easy to see other people's faults before we see our own. It's called, by the way, self-righteousness. It's what Jesus criticized the Pharisees for. You know, he said to them, you know, the Father has sent me, he has testified of me, but you've neither heard his voice nor at any time seen his form. You don't have his word abiding in you. For you don't believe him who he sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but it's those scriptures that testify about me. You're blinded to it. What blinded them? Self-righteousness. But you see, Jesus said, I know you, to those Pharisees, that you don't have the love of God in you. And you know, there it is, you know. What does it tell us in the New Testament, you know? If you say you love God but you hate your brother, then you're a liar. And it's a way of saying, please, you know, don't be that self-righteous person. But allow God to open the eyes of your heart. And he does, and he will, and that's why Paul would pray this in Ephesians, you know, open the eyes of my heart, right? Open the eyes of their heart. What? To see God more clearly, and to see our own hearts more clearly, and then to be willing and wanting to have him change us. Less self-righteous, and then having more of God's righteousness, right? Which means more and more wanting to do what is right in God's sight. More and more wanting to do what's right in God's sight, even when that's hard. Even when it goes against the desires of your flesh. Even when it's not popular. Even when it means swallowing your own pride and agenda and ego. Right? Willing and wanting to change in that positive way. Like that old song that we used to sing many, many years ago. Make me more like you, Jesus. Make me more like you. Give me a heart that's full of love. And make me more like you. You know, when God comes to us to try to do this work in us, he doesn't come in a condemning way. Come on now. He does not come to condemn. That's the devil's work. He does not come that way, but he comes by deepening our revelation of him, our understanding of him, and his love, and his holiness. You know, that's the thing that God desires to reveal to us. One alongside of the other, by the way. Never one absent the other. God desires to reveal to us the truth of his love and his holiness. Do you understand why that is necessary for the full revelation of who God is, his love and his holiness? His love draws us closer. Seeing his holiness makes us see his beauty and want to be like him. And by the way, seeing his holiness clearly then helps us to see we ain't there yet. Amen? So opening the eyes of our heart, and that's a good prayer to pray, church. That's a wonderful prayer to pray. Open the eyes of my heart that I may know you better. Amen? It means that God brings to you a deeper revelation of that incredible depth of unconditional love alongside of His holiness, and together you not only stand in awe of God, but you stand humbled before Him. Not only humbled because of the grace that brings unconditional, undeserving love, but humbled because you see the perfection of His beauty and all of His holiness, and you know God. I'm not there yet. Work in me. Help me to get there. Amen? That becomes our prayer. Make me more like you. And because God wants it too, it's a prayer He always answers. But it's a really good thing to do, to come to God and ask Him to show you His heart. Do you remember this is what David did? Have you ever read in Psalm 119? This wonderful passage. That's a great psalm. You know that's a long one. But in Psalm 119, in verse 23. Psalm 119, verse 23. David would write, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me," or some translations say, "Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful, any wicked, any offensive way in me. And lead me in your way everlasting." What a powerful prayer. If it's an honest, open prayer, you know. If it's a prayer you mean, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and test me and know my anxious thoughts." You know what that means, right? The thoughts that you find yourself thinking when you're in that anxious place. They're revealers, right? Of your faith and trust in God, or the level of it. See if there is any hurtful, wicked, offensive way in me. And do that work, Lord. Do that work to change me. So I said to the Lord, "Lord, you saw this in David, of course, when he was a young guy." It's true. That work, obviously, was a continual work all David's life, though. And we know that by saying about David that he was a man after God's heart, it didn't mean to say that David was perfect. We know the rest of the story. We understand that he was vulnerable, too. And that happened, by the way, in the latter part of his life. But I believe that God saw there in the beginning, there when David was tending the sheep, God saw something. And I really believe that was a key to the something He wanted to lead His people. Because all throughout Scriptures, when you read the Old Testament, and I don't have time to go into it now, obviously, but when you read passages like in Ezekiel, God reveals His heart as a shepherd of His people. And there He saw young David, willing to fight the lion and the bear to save the sheep. That's not only bravery, that's faith, brother. That's the same faith that allowed him to stand before the Philistine army and see that guy that was twice as tall as him and say, "That guy's defying the living God. Who does he think he is? I'll fight him." "David, the armor doesn't even fit you." "I don't need it." I mean, you know the story. But I believe that God saw in David a shepherd's heart. This is the man who penned those words, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." David was a man after God's own heart. God saw that quality. He said, "I can work with that, huh? That's the man I want to represent me over the nation of Israel. And do you know how powerful, how much that God meant in that every king thereafter was called to follow in David's footsteps. And David was the one that received the eternal promise of God that I swear to you, you won't fail to have a king on the throne until that finally rests upon the one whom I want to be from your lineage to rule over my people forever, Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who came from the lineage of David. Amen? Woo! And why? Because he saw a shepherd's heart. Listen to this. I know it's late, but listen to this psalm. Psalm 78. I'll close. Psalm 78, verse 70. If you want to make a note about this psalm. It says in verse 70, "He also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From the care of the ewes with suckling lambs, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he," meaning David, "shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them with his skillful hands." Ah, gotta put that away. Let me just close with this. You know, when I pray for you all, and I do, I pray that before I leave, I find a man or a woman who will shepherd you. That is, have a heart like God's own heart. And by the way, just we're trying to find that person. So in March, maybe before there'll be another one, but in March we have lined up a man whom you met before. His name is Bill Richardson. And I believe Bill has a shepherd's heart. I don't know yet. He doesn't know yet if it's the right fit. But he's coming. And he'll speak again. And he'll meet with us. And by the way, when I say us, I mean you all. Because I really want you all, every one of you, to be a part of that process. I want you all to be the ones that say, "Pastor John, I think he could be the one, or she could be the one." Amen? And I want you to be praying about that, would you? But now back to the heart of the message. You know, I was thinking, sometimes I try to tie titles in with timing. I was thinking about the Super Bowl today, you know. And the only thing that came to me was, John, this battle for your heart, that's God's Super Bowl. Amen? That's God's Super Bowl. That's what He really is all about. Everything is all about that. It's all about God's desire to have all your heart and to make that heart just like His. So just let me ask you, are you willing and wanting to open your heart to Him and say, "Lord, search it and then change me and make me more like You"? Let's stand together as we pray. Father, we come and Lord, we do just in all honesty and sincerity today say to You, Lord, please have Your way in our hearts. We know We know that we got junk in our trunk. We know that there's change that still needs to happen. We know, God, that we want, Lord, and need your help. Make us more like you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church.